Very good. When Jen was up here, I thought of how many years we worked with youth group together. Trips and Bible studies and crazy games and VBSs. In fact, there are probably dozens of you who have worked with youth ministry. I think the first time I met Glenn, he was bringing kids home in our neighborhood. We were first building our house on Horseshoe Bend. Brought Heather up to her house and stopped by. Just so many opportunities to serve. And with the slide, I just want to say the joy for believers is serving Christ. We are born in Christ to serve Christ. And there is great joy. There's joy in the relationships. There's joy in the fact that God's Holy Spirit is using you. There's joy in the fact that you are serving your God and King. Dan talked about how amazing it is that a holy God knows your name and cares about you. And it is that God that we serve. We serve as we teach. We serve as we split wood. We serve as we do all number of things in the body of Christ. And I'm going to take us to a passage in Matthew chapter 25. But before we leave this slide, Mike, I just want you to see that phrase underneath the title. And that is, you've all heard this, right? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And most often we hear that when? During a memorial service, when somebody passes away and the person was a believer in Christ, and we proclaim, you know, this person has been serving Christ with their life, and we want to hear those words when we take our last breath here and wake up. We want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So what I'd like you today to do is consider with me the context of where those words come from. And it's Jesus. And Jesus is speaking. Roland just read in Matthew 26 where Jesus is praying. Well, just a few hours before that, he's teaching the disciples and the people that are around him. And he has this parable that he is speaking. And a parable is a story that teaches a deeper truth. And so that's what he's doing right here, is he's teaching in Matthew 25. We're going to start with verse 14. And by the way, today we're talking about serving and the joy of serving. And I'm repeating myself, but that's what we're called to do. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works that we might serve our God and our King. So these are Jesus' words. Let's read it together. Well, I'll just read it. You listen. For it will be like a man going on a journey. The kingdom of God is the topic. Okay? The kingdom of God will be like a man, is like a man who goes on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To the one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, each to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of the servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents here. I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. enter into the joy of your master. Now he who had received the one talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested the money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's interesting that in kind of going back and walking through this passage, it says it'll be the kingdom of God will be like a man going on a journey who has called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his ability. And then he went away. Now that idea of the master going away, what does that remind you of? Jesus. When he had lived his 3 years of ministry and he went to the cross, he rose from the dead. Now he's meeting with the disciples and he's charging them. Back in Matthew 28, he says, Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples of all nations, teaching them all that I have commanded you, and I will be with you to the end of the age. And so Jesus, when he ascends into heaven, what did the angels say to the people who were standing there? Yes, and they said, Why are you standing here gazing? You know, this Jesus who went up will come back as he left. It's time what? It's time to get busy. It's time to go and serve. So, and then we see in verse 14 where I just underlined a few things. He entrusted to them his property. And so these talents that God gave, who did they belong to? They belong to the master. They belong to God. It wasn't like the master was saying, Here, brother, you know, would you like 5 talents? You're now 5 talents richer. And there's a mindset I think we have to be careful with in our own lives, and that is what we have been entrusted with is what? It's his. It's not our own. We have been left here, and we have been charged as followers of Christ to be stewards of the talents that he has given to us. So verse 15 is, Then he went away. Now he who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded them and made 5 talents more. The same with the one who had 2 talents. He went and invested them. And then you have the person who had the 1 talent. And it says the man with the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. And then the master returns. And what does the master want to find? He wants to find his stewards, his servants, faithful. He wants to see that the job that they were entrusted to do got done. Now, it is interesting that he gives 1 5 and 1 2 and 1 1 and... But the topic is not about how much, it's about how faithful. What did you do with what you were given? All of us, we know, the Bible clearly teaches us that God the Holy Spirit has divvied out to us gifts. And sometimes we're even trying to find out, you know, where do we fit and how can we use the gifts that we have? The truth is we have been given gifts. And you know, I want to say in our business meeting, we're going to have a little section called Celebration of Ministries. And actually, church family, I am amazed how you all serve. I mean, we are a busy church, as you will see when we go through these things during the business meeting, all the different ministries that are happening and the things that are going on. What I find is this, again, I have to be introspective. Lord, what have you given me? Whether it's, you know, people talk about our time, our talent, and our treasure. What are we stewards of? And I can't make any valuation about you. What I know is what God has given me, what I sense that he's given me, what he reminds me that he's given me, what I see that he has given me. And say, God, it's yours. I want you to use it. I want to be this servant who is accountable when the master returns to have used it faithfully, to have used my time faithfully, and my talents faithfully, and my treasure faithfully. So every one of us, you know, have the responsibility to kind of do some introspection and say, okay, God, and I'm not asking you to beat yourself up or to be, but I'm asking you to evaluate. Because, hey, I'm hoping to take some more breaths on this planet. And God, could you use me more? Could you use me more effectively? How could you use me? Am I willing to be used? It's interesting when the rich young ruler came to Jesus and asked, you know, Lord, what must I do? And basically Jesus wanted his life, right? He said, go sell all you have and then come and follow me, right? So we have the one in verse 18, he who had received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. And then after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. He who had received the five talents came forward, bringing five talents more, saying, Master, you delivered me five talents, and here I have made five talents more. His master said to him, and then these are the words that we hear at funerals, but I say these are the words that we all want to hear. And we hear it when we follow through and we say, God, here I am, use me. He says, you have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Then he who also had the two talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered me two talents. Here, I have made two talents more. His master said to him, he doesn't say to him, why didn't you make five talents like the other guy? Right? He doesn't say that. What he says is, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the one talent, came forward, saying these things. Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. What is that basically? It's an excuse, right? Well, I don't want to take the blame, so what am I going to do? Blame God. I knew, God, you were a hard man, instead of saying, I had a responsibility. 24, he says, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have scattered no seed. Then the master says to him, you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So now, take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. So the major relationship that allows this to happen is our trust and faith in Jesus, right? And I've often, well, at least I've heard maybe a few times how people say, well, that's not fair of God to take away. It is fair of God. And enter into the joy of your Lord. By the way, it's not like we're going to take money to heaven. I've heard it so many times. You know, you never see a U-Haul behind a hearse, right? It's not what you're going to take. But as you serve Christ with your life, the scriptures do tell us there will be rewards for faithful living. Everyone who's saved is saved. But God is going to observe the faithfulness of his servants. Verse 29, to everyone who has will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast that worthless servant into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's harsh, isn't it? It is. So the question I think we all have to ask is, am I indeed saved? Have I indeed trusted Christ as my Savior? Is my attitude about the things that I have, the time, the talent, the treasure, is my attitude about that, God has given that to me to use for his glory? And if we find that we don't believe that at all, you know, what's mine is mine and I'm going to use it for me, you might, you know, investigate and say, have I truly ever trusted Christ to be my Savior? A couple of scriptures in Romans 12, verse 11, Paul says, do not be slothful in zeal. Okay? You understand the word zeal, energy, effort. Be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord, Christian. Galatians 6, 9, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Faithful. In Colossians 3, 23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. And that's such a key thing. I've struggled with that at times, kind of wanting a little pat on the back, you know. But I think there's a challenge to us to ask about our motivation. Why do we do what we do? Colossians, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing it's from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. What an amazing, amazing privilege that is, that we are serving Christ. Now, just some lessons that I think come from this passage. This parable of Jesus teaches us four important outcomes, probably more, but four that I noted, of our relationship with God. First, the responsibility and necessity of external work for Christ. I notice it says for Christ, not to be able to have a relationship with Christ. You're not working to get on God's good side so you can go to heaven. The only way that can happen is you trust him, his work on the cross paying for our sin, and his righteousness becomes our righteousness. He's right before God. Now we can be right before God. Now, after we're in Christ, what is the result of that? And so there is this, I just wrote the responsibility and necessity of the external work for Christ. Lord, here I am. You saved me. The scripture says in other places, I once was a slave to sin, now I'm a slave to Christ. Number two, the believer's obedience and accountability to God. There is an accountability to God. God does hold us accountable for our life and our time here in all those different ways. Number three, the rightful use of the special gifts he has entrusted to us for his kingdom and glory. What do we learn? That there is a rightful use of the gifts that he has entrusted to us for his kingdom and for his glory. It's interesting, this passage of scripture, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, his kingdom. He's the king, we're the subjects. And then number four, the context of the blessing. These words again, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful. Enter into the joy of the Lord. So the context is that when we say at a funeral or a memorial service, this person was so-and-so, and then we say, well done, good and faithful servant. The context is this passage of Jesus' teaching. One more thing. I just wrote, for the master. Note this thing. The master gives the servant the master's money to invest. It is not the servant's money to make life better for the servant. The talent is given to be used for the master's benefit. The blessing for the servant comes with the master's blessing. Well done, good and faithful servant. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up, and we're going to complete our this worship time, and then we'll have a little break, and then if you'd like to come back, we'd love for you to come back for the business meeting. But would you pray with me? Our Father, wow, you have gifted us with so very much. You have saved us, forgiven us, filled us with God the Holy Spirit, given us gifts and abilities and talents. Father, and then as followers of Christ, you ask us to use those for your glory. God, I thank you for an amazing team of people here. And Lord, I am stirred. Lord, if any of us are stirred, Lord, how can I serve you better? How can I submit to you more? How can I give up that thing so that I can serve you more wholeheartedly? Lord, that we would be willing to listen to you and respond. Father, I thank you. When I have looked at this last year, I mean, this last few weeks, the deacons and I have been just going over the blessings and the challenges of the last year. It has been a rich time, and we thank you. You are the giver of every good and perfect gift. We love you. We serve you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together.
Oh.
take a little break. God bless you. I'm glad you're here today. And isn't it an honor to be able to serve the Lord with the gifts and abilities and talents that we have? So you can greet each other as you go. We're going to probably try to start in about 5 minutes. So just kind of a little quick, grab some coffee, say goodbye, and come back. And we're trying to honor you with how long our business meeting goes. Okay? God bless you. If you want to come in and have a seat and close the back doors for us. Hey, Mark, Etter, would you close the back doors for us? That'll indicate to those still enjoying conversation that we're going to begin. Okay. Good. We have a few things that we're going to give you. One is it's called the Deacon's Report. A deacon's ministry report. On the slide, it's a celebration report, which is just highlighting all different kinds of ministries that are happening every week or so. Bless you, at Pioneer Bible Church. William, if you go ahead and pass those out, and I think Jay maybe, yeah, you maybe do this side with those same things. So William. Jay's going to do it on that side, okay? And Jack and Roland, if you would hand out to everyone that piece of paper. And Jim, Owens, I'm going to hand it over to you. And
I would not turn it down. Thank you. Okay, can you hear me okay? Jean, can you hear me okay? I don't think so. She's reading. Okay.
Anybody can hear?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
All right,
that's better.
Great. I can hear me great. I don't know what the... Okay, if you turn to this sheet here, the agenda, the first item on there is election of the corporate officers. We're a faith-based corporation, and every year we have to renew those officers. So we have before you President Jim Eggert. He's a representative of the Elder Board. Vice President is Mr. Keith Cunningham, representing the Deacon Board. And the Secretary is a representative of all the rest of us. So is there a motion to accept these officers to serve in the coming year?
Yes.
Okay.
Second.
Second, okay. All in favor, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, okay. All right, great. So on with the celebration of ministries.
Very good. Jim, can I use your microphone? Roland, would you just gather our hearts and lead us in prayer as we continue?
Father, thank you for the privilege we have of being your kids. And thank you for the message today that helps us realize that it's your talents, your time, your money that we have. And our desire is to serve you. Father, thank you for this time to get together and ask that you would bless it and strengthen us and encourage us and draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to just kind of lead us through a little portion of this paper that you have. It has a staple in it. And so if you'd find the paper that has a staple in it, and there are some scriptures at the top, and they're all very exciting, but I'm not going to read them all. I am going to read a couple of them. Proverbs 16:3, commit your work to the Lord, then it will succeed. 1 Corinthians 10, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Romans 12, never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. And we'll stop with that. I just want to tell you that if you're going to, I hope you will take this and read through it.